No, he already gave me directions, but I didn't listen to him. So, it's not him, it's me. I should have cleaned my glasses before I took off for my journey this morning. That's what I got out of the testimony also. I saw how dirty they were when I got here. I was like, they had like water spots all over them. It's great to be here. This is for the translator, right? Okay. I want to speak about something kind of Christmassy. Maybe, Mark, can you put the words to Joy to the World back on the screen? You can't do that. Is it over? Is it over? See if you can do that, maybe. Okay. Yeah, she thought her job was over. Okay. Well, there's something. I heard you guys are doing a class. I want to speak on I want to speak on peace today. Okay? Peace. We know Isaiah chapter 9. We've heard that verse 6, I believe it is. The Prince of Peace, you know, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to speak about what that is. I think maybe it's often misunderstood. There's a verse in our Bible in Romans chapter 14. Maybe before we look at this, it gives us perspective. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Let's see. Verse 17. Let's pray. Well, first of all, before I speak, before we pray, it feels good to be in a church. I personally haven't been in church for, I don't think, the whole month of December. I've been out, like, working, and I noticed, like, when I got into the chairs here, it's just like this relates to peace because I'm inside of something. It has walls. And because this is what peace is. Oftentimes we think of peace as something like the absence of war. And this is not life. Like, you know, peace is not the absence of problems. You know, life is filled with problems. And you know, the disciples are in the boat with Christ. You know, he has peace. If I relate to him, like those are my boundaries, I can have peace. There's always going to be storms outside. But what are the boundaries? And inside of boundaries, what peace is, there's rules. There's a government. There's a kingdom. And there is my security, and this is where I prosper. The goal or the paramount desire of Israel is actually peace, shalom. It's peace. And peace is not the absence of what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And this is very important, and there's borders around this. And something cannot come in. In the book of Revelation, I left my notes at home today, and so just bear with me a little bit. But it's just like, may God bless this. May God direct us. May God teach us today. May Christ be lifted up in what we say and what we do and how we think. And may we have a revelation of Jesus Christ today for our personal lives. God, we ask, Lord, please. God, we're like broken before you. We desire you more than anything else. So God, just Teach us through your Holy Spirit, we ask in Christ's name. So, I don't know where I was, but I was getting to this word, this paramount expression, you know, of the Jews. Oh, I know. In Revelation chapter 20, when we have a description of the New Jerusalem, there's many gates, the 12 gates in the New Jerusalem. But guess what? They don't have to be shut. They're always open. Why? It's because the enemy is defeated. Christ has finally conquered the enemy. I think it even says that. I'm skipping around now, but let's just turn to, I'll go back to Romans 14. Let's look at this Romans 16. Yeah. Let's see where that is. Maybe I have verse 20. This is it. Okay, now remember, I want to put pictures in your mind before we start reading. Like, this is something, maybe an application I wanted to say, but sex. Does it have boundaries? It has boundaries. It's marriage. Inside of marriage is where sex is supposed to be. Outside of those boundaries, there's problems. There's no peace. Okay? So boundaries are important. Is it good? Yes, it is. You know, it's like, you know, the fire is great inside of its boundaries. But outside of its boundaries, it destroys. And so this is very important as we're not loose with our boundaries, our borders. And then once we have this kingdom, this government on the inside, there's something very special about our lives. We have a ruler, and now what does my life do? It submits. It comes under authority. Authority is beautiful when it's inside of boundaries, you know, and it's righteous, right? It's beautiful. But illegitimate authority is wrong. It's operating outside of boundaries. So in the New Jerusalem, let's just look at verse 20 of Romans chapter 16. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Like, this is the defeat of Satan, of the final enemy. He's destroyed. And we don't destroy him. God destroys him. And then what happens? He's the God of peace, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It's like there's a solemn time. There's like the way life should be. When we live inside of the protection of these boundaries, we can actually have peace, and this is where we actually prosper. So in Revelation chapter 20, the gates are never shut. There's the boundaries, but they're never shut because the enemy cannot come in, and that's the way that heaven actually is. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17. This is hopefully leading to something else that I want to say. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what you have. Do you ever go on a shopping spree because you're empty on the inside? I mean, I just say, for instance, and you know, you come home, you know, the joy, the little satisfaction that you get. You know, I was in my garage after Christmas, you know, just like enjoying my tools. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I was just like, I got a power pack from DeWalt. And, you know, it's like, wow, this is... I was in there kind of like, just like, I can't wait for the summer. I'm going to rip through this lawn. You know what I mean? I got the power tools. And then I was thinking, I know a family situation that isn't perfect. And I was like, are these substitutes in our life? What am I chasing after? What really satisfies the soul? It's the kingdom of God inside of these boundaries. I spoke earlier about sex, you know, loneliness. Outside of those boundaries of marriage, is there actually satisfaction? Is it the enjoyment that God has planned for it? The answer is no. And you know what it doesn't produce? Look at this song. Just go to this song here. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Thinking of this, Christ died outside of the camp, outside of the walls of Jerusalem. We are separated from our sins as far as the east is from the west. He took the things outside of the camp, outside of us, that would separate us from him. And so the kingdom, did I finish reading this verse? Look at this in verse 17. This is, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink. Okay. But righteousness. This is very important. This is the work of God that no man can do. It says, what does it say in Romans chapter 1? We're justified by faith. We believe in the work of Jesus Christ that separates me, that took care of my sins. I often tell people, if you want to know God, just deal with your sins properly and you'll discover God. I mean, you can't go to church and discover God. It doesn't work. I'm being a little facetious, but I'm saying it's like the holy place. It's like, let it be holy in your life. Imagine you go to church your whole life, but you never let God deal with your sins. You never let Christ take them out of you, die for them, take them out of you, separate you as far as the east is from the west. And it's like the verse that you read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We confess our sins. If we don't have 1 John 1, 9 and, you know, all those verses, and we live in darkness and we say, I haven't sinned, it's like we never get to experience God. But if we say we have sinned, we have an advocate, right? We have someone that takes care of it. That's intimacy with God. Deal with your sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And what do you have in Romans chapter 5, verse 1? You're justified by faith and you have peace with God. The enemy's outside. Now you have peace with God. You have a kingdom. You have holiness. You have rules. You have ordinances. You have the grace of God. You have holiness. You have this atmosphere where your life can prosper, be blessed. Peace represents blessing. This is the target where it's like if the walls are all broken down and anything can come in that, you know, wants to, you're insecure. You don't know who can come in, what can come in. You don't care what comes in. And there's no security. But when you live inside of the boundaries, these beautiful laws of God, the ways of God, where inside is peace. A child needs boundaries.
Why do children have problems? They don't have boundaries. They set their own boundaries. And they know their own loopholes. Right? And they have their own way of managing the whole situation. And they're actually never happy. They don't have security. But give them boundaries and show them how they can prosper on the inside of those boundaries. And they have this amazing liberty. They go wherever they want to. And they know when they get close to the wall, there's going to be, when they go over that line, there's consequences. In Proverbs chapter 23, right, it speaks about the orphan. It's like the person that goes outside of the boundaries. I think it's verse 17. What do? They enter into the field of the fatherless. When you move the landmarks, you say, oh, I don't need that boundary in my life anymore. Then we enter into a place of loneliness, of my own rules. I've noticed, I just want to speak, I mean, I want to say something here, something I've thought about. It has to do with my example in my mind is, it's in society today, but how we can relate to it, don't relate to it in the way that I'm going to tell you, even though, let it be broader than this. But I've seen someone change the boundaries in the, because they didn't succeed inside of the boundaries. They saw themselves as a failure inside of the boundaries in a relationship. So what happened? They changed the boundaries and they became gay. And they said, well, this is the new way. I can win in this game. And it's wrong. It's actually wrong to change the boundaries. There is no, this doesn't exist there. It just does not, it's not God's boundaries. This does not exist there. There's no joy in the world like that. Where it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, we're hid. What does it say? We're hid with Christ in sight of God? Is that what it says? We're hid. We're hid. Let's turn there. Colossians. It's great to be in church, man. It's great to be in church where my soul can sense the presence of God, where I have to make decisions with my volition, where I'm making decisions that last for eternity, where my mind is getting ideas in my relationship with God. So it says this, for we are dead. That's beautiful. We are dead. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I am dead. We are dead. Colossians 3:3. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. You don't make your own boundaries. And you know what? And I don't know how that relationship hurt that person. But you're dead. You can't make your own boundaries. You can't make your own laws. You're not your own God. You're not your own ruler. There's something to submit to. Give it another chance with God. Don't throw everything, you know, don't throw it all away and say it doesn't work. There's a way with God, and it does work. These are the landmarks. If we go outside of these landmarks, we step into the field of the fatherless. And good luck, you're up to your own rules. And that's what man wants to do today. He wants to make his own rules in his own ways. He has his own game. And you know what? There is nothing there. There isn't peace there. Because you're outside of the boundaries. And you don't experience this. Just go through some of these words here. Can you flip through this? Just joy to the world, the Lord has come. Heaven and nature sing. There's this expression of joy in my life because I'm living inside the boundaries. Okay, keep going. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. There's a king, and I'm submitting my life to him. He has a way. He has mandates. I obey them. What is obedience? What does the word obedience even mean? It means to come under God's thoughts, to come under God's ways, to come under where God is. And when I obey, this is what happens. The Savior reigns, and it's like it's a secure place. It's obedience happens. We see it's a blessing. Our faith leads to more faith. We see the blessing and we want to choose that more. We're persuaded in our hearts. We see how God works. There becomes an anointing on our lives. We're walking with God. Look, I got my own song. Let men their song employ. I've got my own song. You know what? My song blesses you, and your song blesses me. We're inside of the boundaries. We're in the body of Christ. We're dead, and we're hid with Christ inside of God. We have that sense of righteousness, of peace. And now we have this expression in our the righteousness, what God did, this peace of the atmosphere that he creates, and this joy, something I experience. This is, you know, this is the joy. My prayer is that, you know, there would be no problems, you know, in my life. I'm afraid of every problem. People live in fear because everything, they have no boundaries. They have no boundaries. They're controlled. You ever see a person that is so nervous, they have no boundaries? And everything has to be perfect? And if everything isn't perfect, you get angry. Okay, so that's what this speaks about. Okay, so let's go to a verse that we're just thinking of in Proverbs chapter 15. Do you guys understand what I'm speaking about this morning? Is this making sense? Is it relating to your lives? Is it yes or no, or maybe, and maybe later, or kind of, or... Okay, I do want to speak about family in a second. I'm going to keep going quickly here, so raise your hand if you have a question, and I won't know your name, but I probably won't answer it anyway. But so I was speaking about, I wanted to speak about anger. I'm probably the only one that has a problem with anger here, but as I'm speaking to myself. You know, when it's your own kingdom and the kingdom has to go your own way, the only thing you know is outside of the anger is outside of the boundaries. I don't care what the consequences are. I'm going to be angry. I'll just break everything. I don't care. I'll break relationships. I'll destroy what's ever in front of me. I don't have to show love. I have a right to be angry. And we justify why I'm angry, why I can live outside of the boundaries. Right? Has anyone ever done that? I can live outside the boundaries now. I can show my mood to many people, and I can hurt people along the way. Does anybody ever like to hurt people? I like that. I like to hurt people, and I feel terrible afterwards. I hurt my wife, and I'm like, oh, man. Like, I went outside the boundaries, and I hurt my wife. Why did I do that? But let's look at this verse. Verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 15. Better is a little. Remember we said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. We said that in Romans chapter 14. It's not meat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You could say, better is it to live inside of the boundaries than have a life where my joy is determined from outside of the boundaries. There's two different people. There's two different people. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7. To be carnally minded is death. Imagine this. You're in church. We live our life carnally, in the flesh, with our own boundaries. It says it's death. Imagine operating in the church continually without God's boundaries, even though it looks religious. That's what the Pharisees were. They had incredible boundaries, that they were the ones that failed inside of God's boundaries, so they tried to change the boundaries. They tried to change the game. And they were living in death. We don't enjoy church when we're carnal. It doesn't work. You get frustrated. And sometimes, even in churches, people try to, just say, I'm just saying, like, the board or the group of people, they want to change the rules so they feel comfortable. No, we want God's rules. That's how we want the church to actually operate. We don't want, like, man's rules so I can feel secure. I like getting punched in the brain by the Holy Spirit and saying, I've got to adjust to God. I can't create my own rules. See, that happens in the church. It's like somebody, wants to become gay and change the rules of relationships. It happens in the church. People want to change the rules in church. And then there's death. That's what the Pharisees did. It doesn't work that way. So we want it to do it the right way. Because it says in Romans 8, it says, but to be spiritually minded, or to be spiritual, is life and peace. You're inside of the boundaries, so you have peace. And what does it say? What does it say? It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God rules. It's the peace of God goes beyond our understanding. This is amazing. I get to think not my own thoughts, but God's thoughts. I'm submitting to this kingdom of God, God's ways, God's laws, God's grace, living inside of God's holiness. And my mind has a spiritual IQ. If I think naturally, I don't have a spiritual IQ. It's just death. It sounds really good. It sounds good in the meeting, but it doesn't produce life. It's death when I think my own thoughts. But now in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, I have an understanding that goes beyond my understanding. I have a wisdom that's from God. I checked in with God, and the Holy Spirit teaches us. And that's what it's even promised John chapter 14, John chapter 16. It speaks about the Holy Spirit giving us peace. He sent the Comforter to have this peace. Because now I'm not thinking my thoughts. It goes beyond my understanding. And what happens? My heart and my mind are ruled. What does it say? It goes beyond, and your God, the peace of God shall rule your hearts and your minds. You have a ruler. Something goes beyond your understanding. This is God working in our lives. This is developing, this is like learning from God, getting a spiritual IQ, walking in truth. Truth that sets me free. I didn't like think up that way to think. Just the Holy Spirit taught us that way to think. It's beyond my own understanding. And what do I have? I have a peace. It guards my heart because I want that peace. I don't want to step outside the boundary. I don't want that in my life. I know what happens there. I'm condemned. I'm in the field of the fatherless. I feel like an orphan. I'm not secure. I'm alone. The only covering I have is adding some more sin to that last sin that I just did. That's not fun. Oh, and then I'll tell you how to, and then I create my own rules. No one ever, that's not, That's why we're here today. God, what are your rules? The peace of God is inside of those rules. So I just finished that, and I'll speak about one more thing, and then I'll be done, okay? So this, we're back to Proverbs chapter 15. Better's a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. God, teach me that. God, teach me that. We just run after vanity so many times. Really, we do. It's a reaction to something that happened, something I didn't have or I always wanted. God, teach me. Teach me what godliness, what contentment is. I want that. Better is a dinner of herbs, verse 17. Dinner of herbs, where love is. I'm sure. I had a great Christmas. Some of you may not have had a great Christmas, but it was because of family. It was because, you know, I haven't been to church, and I was in Baltimore Christmas Eve, and I didn't make it to church. My wife needed spinach for the next day, and there was no stores open. When we went into Walmart, it took her 20 minutes to get out of there. And so we were so late getting to church. I said, we're not going to church. The time we get down there, it's going to be over. So I didn't go to church. I'm not saying that about herbs, but I'm saying, I wanted to speak about what destroys our lives. These little things, it says here, there's a stalled ox, you know, this meat. There's a stalled ox, but you have hatred. Well, you got the meat. You know, I'm eating prime rib, or I'm eating, you know, a New York strip, or, you know, I'm eating, you know, ribs. You know what I mean? It's like I have a stalled ox. You know, I'm so looking forward to that. Does that really satisfy when you have hatred? Do those tools in your garage, you know, you're just, does that really, can you really, like, is that really happiness? You know, imagine, you know, the power I'm going to have in the summer. Does that really satisfy? Does that take care of the deep desires? No, I want to be where there's love. There's herbs. Where it's correct. And this is, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. I just wanted to say that. This is that man I was speaking about that has anger. He just breaks all of the boundaries. I have a right to be angry. I can destroy who I want to, when I want to. I can say what I want to. You small person, you're living with no boundaries. And you know what I know you don't have? You don't have joy or peace. You're not living inside the boundaries. Are you happy now that you got angry? My wife tells, are you happy now that you've upset the whole family? Are you happy now? How'd you do? Are you happy with your life? Was it good? Was it worth it? That you don't have to have boundaries? Did you enjoy that little time you had without boundaries? No, it wasn't fruitful. It wasn't helpful. Okay, that's the wrathful man stirreth up strife. But he that is slow to anger appeases the strife. The man that thinks with God, he writes a little bitty sentence. Instead of being angry, he gets this multitude, volumes of thoughts from God. And he says, and I love you. And it's from his heart. And so many things are resolved. He had forgiveness. He let the blood cleanse him. The Holy Spirit taught him. And he writes a little thing. After he's gone through all the trash that he had to go through in his family, he writes, I love you. That's his conclusion. And man, is that man rich. That man is wise. He had the mind of God. Let's look at Matthew. This is probably where we'll close. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Okay. Verse 33. verse 34. Let's start there. We've read this before. This is where Christ came to bring the sword. He said, well, that's not very peaceful. We wonder why things happen in our lives. It's like, I'll just read it. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. Well, Pastor Gary, I thought you were talking about peace today. Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. Well, not your peace, not your boundaries, not the way you think it's going to work. You can be on me with the ship and the storm is outside. I want you to relate to me. I don't want you to have, you're not going to have perfect situations in life. Life isn't about, you know, me saying a prayer and expecting the situation to be perfect for me all the time. That's not what life is about. It's about living inside of these boundaries and discovering this joy and this peace. That's what life is about. That's God's kingdom on this earth. There is a kingdom, and God reigns there. And we have a relationship with God there. Don't think it's going to be your kingdom on this earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. This is what's going to happen in our lives. Things are going to get ugly. So that God can put things in his order and he can take our order that's really causing us not to have peace, that causes us to create our own games. That's why he was so animate with the Pharisees. My game works. Your game doesn't work, Pharisees. And I'm going to tell you it doesn't. I'm going to pluck some corn on your Sabbath. And you're going to see how bad your heart is. It's not going to work. And that's what he does in our lives. That's the sword. So that we can relate to the cross. So we can say, I'm dead. I'm dead. Now my life can be in order. I'm hid with Christ inside of God. That's God's plan for our lives. Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am not come to set a man. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be those of his own house. God wants to bring a new order into our lives so that we can have peace. He doesn't want us to have sentimental loves. Meat and drink, they don't satisfy. I want the herbs. I don't want the fatted calf. And just, you know, the expectation, it's going to be a good dinner. It's like, you know, it's like, it's going to be a great open presence. And it's like, no, I want the where there's love. I want to be inside of those boundaries where my life is a target for God's blessing, where there's peace. It says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Oh. Oh. Wrong order. Wrong kingdom. You created your own boundaries. Family, you created your own boundaries. It's you're worshiping the wrong thing. It's not going to work. God breaks our boundaries so that we can resort to his boundaries. And this is, and look at verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and falleth after me is not worthy of me. The cross brings us, we die. We no longer live. The cross takes, it says in Romans 5:1, we're justified by faith and we have peace with God. That's how Romans 5 starts. And then you can go through all these troubles. And then in 5:5, what happens again? The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I'm living inside of the boundaries. tribulation comes, I'm living inside of the boundaries. And the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in my heart. My loves are in order. My life has the order of God. And this is the peace of God. So in Isaiah chapter 9, just thinking of Christmas, just thinking of that word, the Prince of Peace. May we not think of peace the same, but may we have this peace where the enemy is taken outside of the camp, and there's boundaries, and there's a government, there's a kingdom, there's rules, and I'm submitting to those, and there's peace in my life, and it produces this joy in our lives. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. So that's my message today. Something to think about as we consider how God works in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. To be inside of these walls, the church that you've created. That you've created Christ, you gave us Christ, your Son, that we're hid with Christ inside of God. We thank you for that incredibly secure position. No one can pluck us out of your hand. We thank you, and that we do have the peace of God. Just show us, God, how to live in this peace. How to poise our life to live inside of this peace, God. We ask, God, bring conviction in our hearts today about how to live inside of this peace, what I don't need, so that I don't create my own rules, so that I can have your peace. We thank you, God, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.